You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
So we are celebrating this season. How many people like this season? Amen. I really like Christmas time. How many have liked the cold weather? That's about half of everybody. Everybody else is like, please send it away. Well, it's going to be in the 70s today, so it's kind of in the middle for everybody. All right. 2,000 years ago, God gave this incredible gift that was and is Jesus. And the greatest gift that our Heavenly Father could give was given in the person of Jesus. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. The very presence of God being with us. And up until this point, some people had experienced it. In the Old Testament, it would talk about the presence of God being with somebody for a season or being on a particular person, but it was kind of like this elusive thing, like the presence of God is on this person or the presence of God is on this person for this assignment, but it wasn't consistently with anybody. And so we have this monumental thing that really happened 2,000 years ago, which is this whole concept of Emmanuel, God with us, the ability of God's presence to stay with us. This is a revolutionary thought that not just for a moment, not just for a special assignment, not just when Samson would move in strength with the Spirit of the Lord come upon him, but we're talking about the ability for the presence of God to walk with you daily. The presence of God. So 2,000 years ago, December 25th, I'm not trying to bring out something new theologically, the 25th, something started. A new thing, God's presence being available, not just to some, not just to select few, not just for special assignments, but continuously the presence of God being with us. And so I think this is very, very special. How many believe this is very special? I believe it's something that we should guard, something that we should protect. If we have the ability to have the presence of God and you receive the presence of God into your life, amen? And you say, I want to guard this, I want to cover this, I want to protect this because I don't want to lose this, right? And so I want to look at two very special people today because I want to preach a sermon entitled Guarding the Presence of God. Guarding the presence of God. This is very important. And the first people that really had this responsibility were Mary and Joseph. Very, very special, unique responsibility. Not just for a limited time, not just for a select few, but they were the first ones that would be able to steward and guard and protect and watch over the presence of God, the very presence of God. So I ask you today, why are Mary and Joseph so special? What's so unique about them? What's so extraordinary that they should be the first, that they should be the prototype of guarding the presence of God? And I was just thinking about this because they were entrusted with such a special assignment. I don't want to skip over this, you know. If we're looking at what really took place in this season 2,000 years ago, we need to look about at what Mary and Joseph did and how they were entrusted with preserving. So I want to look at who they were. Now, not just, yes, I know they were Jesus' earthly parents, but what was it? What specific traits did they have that God could trust, that God could work with? And so I want to take three traits from Mary, and I want to take three traits from Joseph, and I want to look at how we can guard the presence of God in our lives. Are you ready to go on this journey with me today? Look at somebody, say, wake up. This is the day that the Lord has made. Just shake them lightly on the shoulder. I don't know if you're just still in shock from the weather, or you're in shock from there's people looking at me with big eyes. Maybe it's the presence of the Lord is here song. Maybe you're still. Three things about Mary, three things about Joseph. What attributes enabled them to protect the presence? In Luke 1:27, we see it says that Mary, when it's introducing Mary, it says Mary was a virgin. Mary was undefiled. Okay? And so this is really important, because the Old Testament talks a lot about something being defiled or undefiled. And so that's an important kind of attribute for the presence of God to be somewhere or not be somewhere. You can do just a cursory overview of the Old Testament, and something would happen to a place or to an object, and it would be defiled. We can't use that anymore for the presence. Like, this can't be associated with the presence of God. But why Mary was so special was because she was undefiled. You know, I believe not just was she a virgin, she represented this concept of being a vessel, being a place, being a person that was undefiled. So, you know, when we talk about that, we have to think about, what am I taking into my spirit? You know, what type of things am I allowing in my life? You know, a lot of times there's stuff, part of our culture, part of our society, that it's just a regular thing to look at this, to watch this, to be a part of this. But we, if we want to have the presence of God, if we want to steward the presence of God, we have to be aware of our vessel. Mary was undefiled. How can we live a life? How can we allow God to prompt us to take things out of our life or add things into our life so that we can be a better vessel that God can entrust, God can put his presence inside of us? Not just the visitation, all right? Visitation is great. Sunday is great. But how can you continue that thing that starts on Sunday and just carry that right through the week? It's by having a lifestyle where, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we're taking certain things out, we're putting other things in, right? Undefiled. Mary was undefiled. And this is why I just want to say, there's a big difference, you know, when the scripture says he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. You know, there's a difference between God being near to you. If you call him, he'll answer you, right? And the Holy Spirit walking with you. That's a very different thing. I'm interested in the Holy Spirit walking. I don't want a visitation. I want him walking with me. I want him a part of my life. I don't want this, you know, in and out, and he's here, and he's no, I want God to this place to be a place of habitation. So what a special and a precious gift for God's presence to rest upon us. Turn to somebody and say, house cleaning. You know, I find it so important for believers to always do house cleaning. You know, it's not a situation of, you know, beating somebody up or beating yourself up. Sometimes we beat ourselves up, but it's about saying, you know what? Let me take an audit of my life and see what I can do during this season. How can I become a better vessel that God can work through? The more you clean your vessel, the more room there is for his presence. So the first thing is Mary was undefiled. Second thing, we see it in Luke 1:28. Mary was spiritually dialed in. It's very important, because I think sometimes we miss the message that God is trying to send us. Can I tell you that if Mary wasn't dialed in, she would either have not seen the angel, or she would have not listened to the message or perceived the message. But the thing about Mary was this: she was spiritually ready. She was dialed in. This is very important. Something that Mary had, something that we need to make sure that we have, that we're dialed in. That we're ready for whatever God had. Now, I'm sure that, you know, some of what Gabriel said was completely not what she expected, but she had a general readiness about her. She was dialed into God's presence. And I think this is important for us in our lifestyle is to, you know, in the midst of our busy schedules, I know it's busy. I know that we get preoccupied with this and we get preoccupied with that. But it's so, so important, very important for us to take the time to stay dialed into the presence of God. What happens if your schedule becomes so busy that there's no room for God to interrupt? I would say that's too busy. What happens when we get so flustered and our plates are so full that there's no room for the Holy Spirit to tap you on the shoulder and say, I want to have a moment. I've got a message for you. So that's a question for us. Will we be preoccupied or will we be ready like Mary was? If you want to guard God's presence, stay dialed into what God is saying. First thing we see with Mary, undefiled. Second thing, she was spiritually dialed in. Third thing, in Luke 1:38, Mary was open to God's direction. Look at somebody and say, stay open. Let me just go back for a second. Don't stay open to everything, okay? Stay open to the presence of God, all right? Some people don't need to be in your life. Don't stay open to everybody, okay? Don't stay open to everything. You know, but the presence of God, we have to stay open to the presence of God. This is the really interesting thing, and I was kind of meditating on this week. You know, before, you know, we grew up and we heard the story and we're familiar with the story of the Virgin Mary and the Son of God and Gabriel. But imagine that that had never happened. And you're just a teenage girl and you wake up that morning and you're not thinking you're going to get an angelic visitation. You're not thinking that you're going to be pregnant, even though you're a virgin. You're not thinking that not only are you going to give birth to a child, it's not just any child, it's going to be the Son of God. So Mary she was open-minded to God giving her new direction. And this is very important. Why this is very important is God is such a creative God. And he comes with such fresh ideas and fresh perspective that if you're not open-minded, you'll miss it. If you come in to your day, if you come into a conversation with God and you're closed off and you're closed-minded and you're stubborn about the direction that you're headed in, guess what? You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. It's because Mary was open to receive new direction from God that she was able to wrap her head around this. Because let me tell you something. If an angel came to you and said, even though you're a virgin, you're going to have a baby, you would be like, what? And then not only is it going to be any baby, it's going to be the Son of God. What? But she was open to whatever the new thing God was going to do. She wasn't just spiritually dialed in to hear. She was also ready to receive something new. You want to go over here? Okay, we'll go over here. You want to go over here? Okay, change directions. We're going back over here. She was open to what God was doing. If you want to have his presence and guard it, be open-minded to the direction of God. We see this in Jesus' life. He was so out of the box. He took religious people, turned them upside down, right? Because he came and he would take a law or a rule or a scripture, and he would completely give them a different perspective on it that they never thought before. Jesus was talking about equality in a male-dominated class system with slaves. He said, guess what? You can be equal. And so Jesus was always presenting something because Jesus is the very presence of God, the very virtue of God, the very image of God. And he was giving giving the same essence that God is. Creative perspective, fresh revelation, new direction. And so we see that from Mary. No, Joseph, what did Joseph? Joseph brought the other half of the picture. He was very important too. You know, sometimes Joseph gets overlooked. You know, everybody focuses on Mary, focuses on Jesus. But you know what? Joseph was important too. Joseph's had a few things that we could learn from. Joseph, first off, I love this, and I had to go back to the Greek, and I hope I don't butcher this too much. It's in Matthew 1:19. It says Joseph was a just man, which is dikaios. Dikaios. And it really could be interpreted as he was faithful to the word. Joseph was faithful to the word. He understood the divine laws. It was another way that it said it. But he was faithful to the word. To protect the presence of God in your life, you need to be faithful to the word. You see, because God honors his word, God is the most productive in the midst of the constructs of his word. Doesn't mean he can't work outside of his word, but if you want to create an environment that's conducive for the presence of God, create an environment in your life with the word of God. And so this is the type of environment, this is the type of covering, this is the type of husband, this is the type of fiance that Joseph was. He was a man that was faithful to the word of God. He was a man that created an environment that the presence of God could operate best in. It was the word of God. So he had a mentality conducive to the presence of God. And if you want to be thinking the type of way, the type of thought process that invites the presence of God and sustains the presence of God in your life, fill your life with the word of God. So even though a virgin giving birth to the Son of God sounded crazy to Joseph at first, the reason he could wrap his head around it is because he had a construct of the word of God. He had a mind that was already kind of primed with the word of God. So even though it was a really, really out of the box idea sounding to him, he was able to grasp it because that was the type of environment that he has. Romans 12:12, the Apostle Paul tells us, don't be conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We renew our mind with, one of the greatest ways that we renew our mind is with the word of God. So we create the type of thought process, the type of mentality that God's presence can best operate in. Staying in the word of God allows us to protect the presence of God in our lives. So, secondly, what else was Joseph? What other attributes did Joseph had? In Matthew 1:19, it says Joseph was a man of honor. He was a man of honor. He didn't want to embarrass Mary, even when he thought Mary had done the wrong thing. His inclination was to cover her, not to embarrass her, to do the honorable thing. How many people have had some people in your life that as soon as you slipped up and did the wrong thing, they were going to out you immediately? They didn't want to be associated with something that might be, they're going to distance themselves from you. They were going to, this was the opposite. Joseph was the opposite. Joseph was a man of honor. Joseph was looking to do the honorable thing. And this is so important. Honoring others invites and sustains the presence of God in your life. Can I say it again? Honoring others invites and sustains the presence of God in your life. When we get dirt in our hand and we're slinging mud on other people, we're missing it, that we're pushing the presence of God away from us. Because that's not the character of God. The character of God is to honor people, is to see the best in people, to see the redeemable qualities in people. For God so loved the world, a sinful world, that he sent his only Son that possibly as many as possible could be redeemed, could be saved. As many that could believe in him would have everlasting life. So his whole mentality, what the character of God is and what Joseph was showing was, how can I honor? Even when I feel I've been betrayed relationally, this is the woman that I love, and he felt that he had been betrayed. He felt that he had been taken advantage of. He still was out to do the honorable thing. Think about that. Think about if you thought that you were betrayed. The very person that you loved, the very person you were in a relationship, you thought they had slept around, you thought that they had betrayed your relationship, you thought they had betrayed your trust, but yet you said, I'm going to do the honorable thing. That's what type of man that Joseph was. Now, the third trait that Joseph has, and we see it right here in Matthew 1:24, when the dream is over and he wakes up from the dream that Gabriel's in the dream, and it's saying that, you know, you should marry Mary, and, you know, even, you know, don't call the engagement off, but move forward with this, that it is the Son of God, that it is something that God is doing. Joseph was obedient. Joseph was obedient. It says that he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He did what the Lord commanded. So, you know, if you've got kids, then you probably have this conversation a bunch about being obedient. Are you being obedient? How quickly are you being obedient? Is it instantaneous obedience? Do I have to repeat myself five times? Are you being obedient? How quickly are you obeying? Joseph knew when he received a word what to do with that. He knew how not just to hear the word, but to act upon the word. So God spoke, and even though it was contrary to what Joseph had already decided to do, guess what? Joseph makes a 180-degree turn and does what the Lord told him to do. He was obedient. Even though he had already decided to do the opposite, I'm going to break off the engagement. Where the Lord comes, nope, I'm back. Engagement's back on. That type of obedience. And I'm sure that Joseph had some questions. I'm sure Joseph was still wrapping his head around it, but that's when it's obedience. If I'm going in this direction, right, and then God gives me a word, what is it? It's confirmation. It isn't obedience, it's confirmation. God is confirming what I was already doing. I had already made the right decision for whatever reason, and God was confirming with a word. But it's really, really, truly the best example of obedience when you're going one way and God says, no, go the exact opposite way. And it's not what you want to do. It's not what you decided to do. It's not what you thought was the best for you. But God says, do it, and you move and you obey. Joseph was a man of obedience. He was willing to put his pride aside because he knew there was going to be issues. Put his pride, you're married to a woman and the dates don't match up when she got pregnant. He put his pride aside, right? Put his ego aside. Put what made sense to him aside and moved in obedience. That's what God can use. If you want to guard the presence of God in your life, do what the Lord commands. My prayer for us is that we would be carriers of His presence. Not just visitors of His presence, but carriers. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank You, Lord, for what You're saying to us today. God, let us be protectors of Your presence. Let us guard Your presence in our lives. What a special gift. What a precious gift that we have. That is Your presence. God, let us, wherever we need to, adjust our lifestyle to be more conducive for Your presence to walk with us, for You to go with us. Let us see what Mary did, and let us be undefiled. Let's take some stuff out of our life. Let's put some other things into our life so we can be a better, more undefiled vessel before You. Let us be spiritually dialed in. Let us be open to new directions. Let's be like Joseph, God, that was in the Word, that was full of honor, that was full of obedience, God. Lord, I thank You that You would just challenge us with that today. Prompt us today as we go through this season. Lord, let us become better vessels that you can work through, that you can walk with. God, we thank you for that precious thing that we can be like the priest of old, that they were just set apart. They were doing a different thing than the rest of everybody. They were entrusted with carrying the presence. God, let it be us. When we go into our work, let us carry the presence. When we go here, let us carry the presence. When we go into our circle of friends, let us carry the presence.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.